In this episode, I'm talking to Emma Holt. Join me now.
Come with us on the Being Imperfectly Perfect journey, where Anna brings to you guests who have overcome challenges and often their own thoughts of self-doubt and criticism to accept who they are, allowing them to live the life they really want.
Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to Being Perfectly Imperfect with me, Anna Wood, where I bring fellow reforming perfectionists to share their experiences with you. And today, hello, Emma, I have brought to you Emma Holt. She is one of my awesome dear friends and one of my awesome clients. So, Emma, hello, how are you doing?
Hi, oh my God, I can't believe that I'm here with you, Anna, and this on your bloody podcast. This is absolutely amazing, and thank you for asking me.
You're most welcome, and thank you for being on here. So first of all, Emma, tell me, and we'll tell the viewers, rather than just me, tell everybody kind of a little bit more about you, and I suppose as well within that, why you're almost like here. Being a fellow reforming perfectionist, explain a little bit why you are here today.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, firstly, a little bit about me. So, as you've already mentioned, I'm one of your lovely clients, and you're awesome, absolutely amazing. Anna is amazing. And she's been helping me loads, haven't you, Anna? Helping me get out of my comfort zone.
You're very kind, Emma. Thank you so much. you are a pleasure to work with, so makes it a lot easier.
So, quick, a little bit about me. I'm a photographer, a brand photography expert, and I also own my own multi-award-winning photography school based in the Northwest. And apparently I'm the only woman that's got her own photography school that's award-winning. So that is just bloody brilliant. and why I'm here? Well, I'm here because when you said about being imperfectly perfect, I thought that is me. That is me to a T. Definitely me. It's just for me, realising that it's okay to be yourself has been a bit of a revelation, really. You know what I mean? It's like you don't have to worry too much about being perfect. You can just be yourself, and that's the key to everything. That's why I'm here.
I love that. And Emma, you are such a, you know, an example, I think, of you are, you know, a force of nature. And I mean that in the most loving way, because you are just so bubbly, so kind. You are one of the most loveliest and kind people that I've ever met. And, you know, that's why I've asked you here today, because I think you are a real kind of example of, I think the world sees you as one of these people who has got their shizzle sorted, right? They've got their life sorted, they've got their stuff in order, and people kind of look at you and think you've got this amazing, perfect life. Yet underneath, I know from working with you, and I'm sure you're happy to openly say some about some of the examples, but you don't always feel like that. And I was the same for a long time. People would look in at my life and think I had everything sorted, like I was a perfect mum, the perfect business owner, the perfect wife. I didn't feel it at all. So talk to me a little bit more about that. And actually, I suppose, let's work first of all on your striving for perfectionism. How has that maybe hindered you in the past?
Right. So I am. Straight away, the first thing that comes to my mind is that I always want to be perfect, and I am a perfectionist, and I always want everything to be spot on. But I've realised that by trying to fit in and be perfect, I'm actually losing who I really am, which for me is the most important thing. And actually, it's just reminding me of a little quick little story that I just want to tell you about trying to fit in. And how fitting in actually doesn't work. Honestly, believe me, it does not work. And this was a few years ago. It was a work-based learning that I did when I was at university. And I worked with a top photographer. And I went on one of his workshops. And this was up in the Hebrides. And I was the only Northern girl there, you know, Northern lass, and everybody else was Southern. No offence to Southerners, I love you, I really do love you. But we're used to saying certain words, and things like, you know, like your evening meal, they'd say a dinner, I'd say tea. You know, like, what are we having for tea tonight? So it was like, literally, I was in the middle of the Hebrides on these mountains taking photographs. It was absolutely amazing. And I remember actually saying to one of the ladies that was in the group, you know, I wonder what we're having for tea tonight, you know, as you do, because it was part of it. The meals were part of it and everything. This lovely hotel we stayed in. And she turned around to me and she says, don't you mean dinner? Don't you mean dinner? And I was like, no, I meant tea, because to me, dinner was something I had at lunchtime. So she was quite abrupt with it, quite, you know, very, very abrupt. So I thought to myself, right, I'm going to have to change how I speak here to fit in. Straight away, the first thing I thought to myself is, I'm going to have to change how I speak. So I remember going back to the hotel and saying actually to my husband, right, I can't say this word. I can't say that word. I've got to fit in. I need to fit in because I need to sound like I know what I'm talking about. And just to be able to join in conversation with them, I can't be me. So I remember my husband saying, but Emma, you need to be who you are. But I thought, no, I've got to fit in. So the following day, I were there using their terminology. And as the day progressed, I thought, what am I doing? Like, what am I doing? I'm losing who I am. I'm losing where I come from. I'm trying to fit in here too much. And this is not who I am. So she asked me a few questions, actually, the group of these ladies. And I remember thinking, no, I'm going to use the word tea. So I did. And so it was really funny. For the rest of the trip, while we were there in the Hebrides, I kept using all the northern words that you can think of. I was like, yeah, what are we having for tea? Oh, you know, what have you got in your butty today? Completely all the northern words going, because I thought, you know what? I don't actually want to fit in. I should be able to be me. And it was really, that was a turning point for me, actually, because I remember that they just sort of accepted who I was. So I guess what I'm trying to say is trying to fit in, you lose who you are, don't you? So again, I was trying to be perfect, but I didn't need to be. I didn't need to watch every single word I was saying. I could just be me, you know, so yeah.
I love that. And I really love what you've just said, because one of the things that I love about you, Emma, as well, is you are this Northern lass, right? Yeah. And I find when I'm talking to you, I take on your accent because I love it, right? And I always want to talk to you with a Northern accent.
So I love that.
I love, right, about you. And so even with what you've just said there, and what I'm really hearing is actually the fact that you've fully embraced actually who you were after having a little bit of a wobble of, oh, maybe I should be someone else. You really embraced who you really were. And what I'm hearing is then people actually kind of accepted you more because you were certain in your approach. So I suppose leading on from that then, what do you think helps you? Maybe tools or whatever it might be, what helps you to be super certain and have that, I know you're probably not going to like this word, confidence, because I know you don't always feel that way, but to give you that certain and confident approach, because I certainly think that you come across as a very confident person, even if you don't necessarily feel it.
Yeah, I think, going back to what you just mentioned about confidence, I think I've struggled with confidence throughout my life. Again, because I've tried to fit in, and going back to bullying, being bullied, and when I was a child. So I think my confidence has really been knocked over the years. However, I think as I've, you know, grown older and maybe a little wiser, and I'm in contact with people like you, it sort of made me realise to have a belief in me and a belief in what I can do and what I've achieved in my life. So being there in that moment with those group of people, yes, it was nerve-wracking. Yes, I wanted to fit in. But I think deep down, I also wanted to not lose who I was. And I suppose it's having, you've got to have that bit of confidence and think, hang on a minute, you know, these are the words I use. This is how I speak. This is me. Yes, I'm a little bit mad. Yes, I'm a little bit daft. But I'm embracing who I am. So I just thought, you know what? No, why should I change who I am for anybody? I should be able to be who I am, perfect or not. This is who I am. So I think I just thought, right, sod it. I'm just going to take the bull by the horns, as my mum used to say to me. And I just thought, no, I'm going to embrace who I am. So I did. I embraced it.
I love that you're saying that. And you mentioned about self-belief and confidence in there. I mean, some people might argue self-belief and confidence are very similar. What's the difference for you between that? Because it sounds like what I'm hearing is you don't necessarily always feel confident, but you have a deep kind of almost like that self-belief. So what's the difference for you?
For me, self-belief is a deep awareness inside you. To sum it up, it's like what my dad used to say to me. Well, he still does say it now. You've got that spark inside you that never goes out, that light that never goes out. And to me, self-belief is something within you that kind of never goes out. It's that spark, that light, that belief that you can do something, you can achieve something. Whereas confidence, I suppose, sometimes it's just having the guts or the, you know, you've got to breathe, haven't you? You've got to take a deep breath, that leap of faith. So maybe it's having the guts to do it. But the self-belief is something that never goes out. So even though it might be really difficult in that moment, you know, you're like, I'm trying to think when you step into a room full of people. So even though in that moment you're thinking, oh my God, this is horrendous. You know, inside you, that light doesn't go out. That self-belief of who you are and why you're there is so important. So to me, to sum it up, it's exactly what my dad said. It's that spark inside that never goes out. That's how I would sum up self-belief.
I love that. I love what you've just said. And you've said that to me before, which really, you know, I think knowing you how I do now, that really makes sense. And I think within that, there's almost a determination. For me, as someone who is very, very determined, you're like, this is where I want to go. And come hell or high water, it's going to happen. So in relation to that, talk to me a little bit more about what you do or how you keep going after, you know, you have had several setbacks along your journey. You've had some horrific things happen. What allows you to keep going?
So I think, again, it's going back to wanting to do well. I've always had this thing in my head that I wanted to be a somebody. And I've had that since I was a really little girl, that I always wanted to be a somebody. And I don't know why. I don't know why, Anna. And you're probably going to say to me, Emma, you don't need to be anybody. I always wanted to be a somebody. And I guess it's, again, having that self-belief that even though I've gone through so much, you know, rubbish, and you know the rubbish I'm on about, it's being able to pull yourself up, dust yourself down, and just having another go. And there's been times when I thought, what the hell am I doing? What the bloody hell am I doing? Like, why am I doing this? And I'll be standing there and I'll be teaching a group of people photography, and I've got pro photographers now that I'm teaching. And there's times when it's a pinch me moment. And I'm thinking, oh my God, how did I even get to this point? How did somebody who has gone through so much shit, excuse the language, has gone through so much crap, is standing here now, multi-award winning, teaching these group of people photography? How did I get to this point? And sometimes I do have to actually ask myself, how did I do it? I do, because we're all normal, aren't we? We're all, you know, and it doesn't come easy. That's what I would say, Anna. It does not come easy at all.
And I love what you've just said there. And I think you've almost like touched on a couple of different points there. You know, in this almost, how do you kind of like dust yourself off, you know, and almost like carry on regardless? What maybe are the things that you tell yourself when you're doing that? What's your focus? But also the second point that you touched on there was almost like this imposter syndrome. And it taught, you know, in the coaching world, a lot of people talk about imposter syndrome. But find me a person who does not have imposter syndrome. Find me a person who doesn't have that moment that actually goes, how on earth did I actually get this life? How on earth am I actually here? I have no idea what happened to get me here. So I think there's a couple of things that you mentioned there. So let's go back to the first point that we talked about there first. What are the things that you either tell yourself, or what are the focuses that does enable you to keep on trying, keep on doing it, keep on pushing through? Because like you said, it isn't easy. And I think there is a little bit at the moment, I don't know if you see it, but I certainly see it, of a lot of people on the internet going, I'll show you how to make £10 billion, right? Not quite, I over-exaggerate there, but the whole, oh, I'll show you how to make 10 grand a month. It's super easy. You just need to do three things. And I don't know. It just, for me, doesn't, you know, at the end of the day, you've got to put the work in, right? So I have waffled on there, but let's go back to really talking to me about what is your focus? What is the driving force that goes, Emma, keep on doing this. Don't give up.
So for me, it's really, really personal, I'd say. I mean, my mum passed away when I was 15. So for me, it's, I mean, she was only 42 at the time. So if you think, for me, I'm thinking, right, I'm now 49, and it's weird because I'm older than my mum. You know, I'm older than her. But I think, right, I want to go and achieve things and be a success, because she never had a go. She never had a chance. She never had a chance to. One of her dreams was to go on the Orient Express. And that was one of her dreams. So that's now one of my dreams. And I'm determined to go on the Orient Express for the longest journey possible. I want to have a full-blown experience on there for her. So I guess for me, just one of the motivations that keeps me going and keeps me trying is that I'm doing it for her, is that I'm living my life. I always said, right, I'm going to live my life to the fullest now, and I'm going to do it because my mum never had that opportunity. So for me, I think your why is really, really important, because if you've got a really powerful, strong why, then I guess you're never going to give up, are you? You're never gonna stop it. You're never gonna, don't get me wrong, there's times when I'm thinking, what the bloody hell am I even doing? You know, like, what the hell am I doing? When, you know, when you're chasing clients for money and you're like, oh my God. And it's like, you're like, what the hell? But at the back of my mind, I have the fact that, you know, I'm doing it for my mum. I'm doing it. So that keeps me going. That's not my only motivation. But I'd say that's really helps me keep going when there's times when I'm under pressure, I'm feeling sorry for myself, because there's bloody loads of them. You know, you're in tears, you're like frustrated. I always think to myself, my mum never had the opportunity to live her the rest of her life to fulfil her dreams. So I'm going to do it. So I guess that's what keeps me going.
I love that. And I love what you've said there about a really strong why. That's so important. And I hear so many people say that, you know, get your why and, you know, make it really strong. And because at the end of the day, money, a lot of my clients will come to me and say, you know, I want to earn this much money. And the first question I'll ask them is, why? What are you going to do with the money? Because it's all well and good having this streaming amount of money. But I think so many times people have this, but when this happens, I will be happy. When that happens, I'll be happy. And oftentimes they pin it around having an amount of money in that bank account. And personally, I don't think that works, because then you're pinning your almost like your happiness on something that is outside of yourself. So for someone who is, because again, I have a lot of clients who don't know, or even generally people out there who don't know where to start. And as you know, working with me, we talk about this stuff. But for someone who is maybe not in coaching right now, or don't feel they have the ability to be in coaching right now, I want this podcast is here. So no matter where you are in life, you can learn and grow and develop, even if you at the moment don't have the resources to do that. So someone who is maybe at the start of their journey, what would you say to them about actually building that why? What tips have you got for them?
I think you've got to really think about planning. I mean, for me, it's all about planning. And part of planning is thinking to myself, right, why the hell am I doing what am I doing? Why the bloody hell am I getting up early in the morning to do what I'm doing? And it's whatever comes to you. So for me, it's from the heart. And I think if something comes from the heart, you're going to do it. You're going to do it. And it's so much more, like you just said, Anna, it's so much more about money. Money's only part of it. You've also got to feel happy in what you're doing, passionate about what you're doing. I mean, I absolutely love what I'm doing. Absolutely love it. And I feel so lucky. I'm there teaching children, children that are autistic, and helping them connect with nature, because for me, it's all about connection. So I'm there helping them, connect with nature. And I think to myself, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, I'm here. This is what I wanted to do. And I've got my why in place, and I've worked bloody hard to get to this point, but it's a bloody amazing. So for me, your why is, it's good if it's got an emotional connection to you. And I think if you're at the big start of your business journey, planning it, bloody write it down. Loads of people always say to me, are you journaling things ever? And I'm like, no. No. I just bloody write it down. Just mind map, planning, get a piece of paper, just whatever comes into your head, write it down. For me, that helps so much, just to have an idea where you're going and why you're doing what you're doing. And do you love it? Ask yourself, do I bloody love what I'm doing? Because if you do, you're going to carry on doing it. If you love it, you're going to carry on doing it. It can't be a chore. You can't have chores.
I love that. And I love what you're saying here. You can't have chores. As you know, I'm a great believer that everything in life should be easy and fun. I know when we first started working together, and I hope you don't mind me sharing this, Emma, but when we first started working together, you were working a lot of hours, and you kept telling me, you were like, but Anna, I'm not doing enough. I've got to do more. How am I going to fit it all out? I'm not working hard enough. And then when we started working around that you soon realised that actually that wasn't working. You know, lots of different things were happening. And now, and again, I hope you don't mind me sharing, and I'm sure you'll tell me if you do, and then we'll just edit it out. But you're now working 3 days a week, and actually things are have transformed for you. So talk to me a little bit about as well, and share with the listeners, if someone's sitting there going, there's no possible way, like, I'm working 5 days and I feel like I'm not, I'm so stressed and I'm not doing, and they're getting themselves all worked up. How did you do it? Like, what were the steps that you took from going from 5 days to 3 and now having a much more balanced life? What would you say top 3 things that you would suggest as
right, top 3 things is have Anna as your coach.
Oh, thank you. I'll pay you later, Emma.
You need to get a bloody good business coach that actually understands the difference between working your butt off and actually having a bit more balance in your life. The second thing I'd say was, if you want to work less days, you need to just go for it and not be afraid. Not be afraid to actually take the bull by the horns. Again, that's what my mum used to say to me. Take the bull by the horns, Emma. And just, you know, just bloody do it. And thirdly, plan. I mean, like, I keep, for me, planning is so important for me. And I know people will be thinking, there's no way, how can you go from working all the hours God sends, which is what I used to do, to working 3 days a week? How does this happen? It's down to a lot of planning. It's also down to working smarter, not harder, which I think maybe Anna's probably told me. But it's like, literally, instead of working all these hours, God sends, because you end up resenting it, don't you? Because I did. You ended up thinking, you know, oh my God, I don't want to actually go into my office today. I don't actually want to work today. Even though I love what I was doing, and I love it so much, you do start to resent it a bit, and you start thinking, oh, can I not just have the afternoon off? So then one afternoon turns into two afternoons, and then the next day you're thinking, oh, I could just have the whole day off. So I think because I've done what I've done, I'm actually working smarter. So on those 3 days that I'm in my office, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, because it's ace, because I get to have Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday off, which is fantastic. I've got more energy. I'm in it. I'm in the flow. I mean, you know, I'm working away and I'm getting more done. And I'm probably getting just as much done in those 3 days that I did in those bloody six days I used to work. 5-6 days. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I love what you're saying here. And again, I think it comes back, that almost like circles back to what we were talking about a couple of minutes ago about this whole easy and fun and enjoying life and all of this. And I love what you just said about resentment, because even when we first started talking, working together, I know that we were talking a lot about that, weren't we? And I speak a lot with my clients about, you don't necessarily know you are resentful. And I don't, when we started working together, I don't even know that you did really realize that, did you, at first, that actually you were resentful? And we can hide that very well because we can tell ourselves some stories. So you also talked about, you know, you're talking a lot about this grabbing the bull by the horns. And with that, you've got to almost like go fully in, haven't you? There's no like half measures here. So for someone who is like, you know what, I really want to do this thing, what tips would you give for actually grabbing the bull by the horns, actually jumping on in and like not turning back? Because I think it's that in between, oh, shall I, shan't I, that doubt period can really mess us up. So what are your top tips there for the just going for it?
Right. So for me, it's fear, isn't it? So fear holds us back. Fear stops us from doing things that we really want to do. And it's going back to that self-belief and having that belief that you can do it. So I think really simple steps, like even writing things and pinning it up on your notice board, positive affirmations, just anything, just words that somebody said to you that mean something to you. Like, literally, I could right now grab the bull by the horns and put it on my notice board, because that is something my mum said to me and it's resonating with me. So I think words from business coaches, from, you know, if you're listening to even to this podcast, write these things down, get them pinned up. So every day you're reminded of what you can do, what you can achieve. Then I think it's about getting a piece of paper, doing a mind map. I know they're called spider maps, I think some people call them. But literally, get what's up here down on a piece of paper. So whatever is up in your head, get those thoughts, those ideas down on a sheet of paper. For me, that's going to really help you, I think, sort of move forward. But also working with a coach, getting a business coach, doing a business course, listening to their podcasts, getting ideas from them. Help, you need help and support, I'd say. When you're starting a business, the most important thing is the support and the help from others, because there are times when you're going to feel incredibly low, imposter syndrome. You're going to feel like, what the hell am I doing? Why am I doing it? Maybe you're chasing the clients, the money's not coming in. So you need that support, and finding somebody, you know, it could just be your friends, business coaches, your family. You need to have a good support network around you.
I love that. And I love that you've just said, you know, because some people listening now, you know, might not feel that they have the resources to have a business coach. And that's the reason why, one of the reasons why I'm creating this podcast, because I want to be able to help anyone who doesn't maybe have the resources right now to work one-to-one with a business coach. But what would you maybe say to someone? Because I know when we first started, you didn't think this was completely possible to work with a business coach or whatever. And I know your income is, we've been talking about it, like 5Xing over the last year since you've actually started putting time and attention to this. So what would you say to someone who thinks at the moment, I don't have the resources to do this. I don't feel like I can do this. I don't feel like I've got anyone in my corner right now to help me. What would you say is maybe the first step?
I think the first step is listening to a podcast, trying to, I mean, on Facebook, on social media, you can follow particular coaches. Get following people that really inspire you and motivate you, because by doing that, you're gonna want to follow them. So it needs to be somebody that's really, really inspirational, that you can pick up tips from. Just get a, I had a little book. In fact, I've got several books now. I've probably got about 100 notebooks. and, you know, put the name on the front of that book and listen to the podcasts. Follow them on social media, whether that's Facebook, Instagram, you know, follow them. Go on the website. Some of them do give out free resources as well, which is really good starting point. It's, you know, and from there you can build on something. Some have small memberships as well that don't cost very much. Just getting yourself around like-minded people as well. Networking's a great one to do. I love going to networking meetings, and you're constantly around people that are going to support you and inspire you. But I think first and foremost is you need to find people or a person that inspires you, because you're going to listen to them and you're going to take action. Yes, definitely. Number one, find somebody that really is uplifting and inspires you.
Love that. And like you say, that doesn't necessarily have to be a coach or a business coach or a mentor or someone online. You know, this can be someone in your immediate, you know, family or surroundings. You know, I've got several people who, you know, my mum, my dad, my sister, my other half, who all really inspire me. So it doesn't have to be someone who you are paying for their services. And I'm really big on that. There seems to be this big kind of movement at the moment about, you know, people almost like selling their time and different things like this. I don't think it needs to be like that. So as we're kind of wrapping up, what would you say are your kind of tips for people maybe at the moment? And again, the world, I feel, is going a little bit kind of crazy at the moment. Stuff is happening, and there's a lot of kind of energy around of people, this uncertainty. People don't know what's going to happen in the world, you know. So what would you say your top three tips are for, you know, keep it, because you are someone, and I'm again waffling on here, right, but you are someone who is bubbly and energizing to be around. What are your top three tips that help you to feel happy and energized, and that you just want to actually keep carrying on?
I would say it's when you start your day off, isn't it? And for me, it's opening those curtains and thinking, oh my God, you know, look at what's out there. So for me, connecting with nature, starting the day off on a really positive note, I say a few affirmations, Going for a walk, being in nature, whether that's taking the dog for a walk. I mean, I've not got a dog yet, but we're gonna get a dog. And it's just getting out, connecting with nature, feeling good in yourself, and again, listening to, I love to listen to nice music, meditating, getting out sometimes out of your own head. You know, just getting that clear in your head of all the junk. Get it wrote down in those notepads. But just clearing your head of all the junk, connecting with nature, listening to inspiring people that inspire you, whether it's a celebrity, whether it's somebody that... there's quite a lot of people on YouTube that do some great meditations and really, you know, really interesting people to follow. Finding these people that inspire you, and that helps to lift you, I think. And also, again, doing something that you love, being surrounded by people that support you, is going to keep you balanced as well, isn't it? It's going to keep you feeling good, feeling upbeat. Yeah, I think all those few things I've just mentioned there, all put together, all glued together, help. They really, really do help give you a sense of optimism and belief, and just keep you feeling happy and stop watching the news. I don't watch the news, Anna. I don't know about you, but there's no news comes on my TV. I don't watch it. I don't listen to it because it just, that's negative to me. It's really negative. So it's surrounding yourself with positive things and things that uplift you and inspire you, having a hobby as well, just doing, filling your day with happy things, and speaking to lovely people like you, Anna, on your podcast. Oh,
thank you. And I'm with you on that. You know, gratitude, I think, is a really big thing. And we can be so eager to look at what we haven't got or what we haven't got yet, rather than actually embracing the things that we have got. And I say this to people all the time. You're so busy looking for the thing that you think you want, which is outside of yourself. Actually, you're too busy to actually notice that the thing that you want is actually already within you. And you can't find it because it's right in you already and you already have it. So gratitude, 100%, I agree with. And I love what you said, writing things down. I love the letting go list. I have pretty much do a letting go list every day. Perhaps not that much, right? Depending on where I am, though, on days that I'm thinking, my goodness, because I know that we are both people who like to overthink things, right?
Yes.
And analyze things and go over like 100 times, like, oh, how could we have done this differently?
Get it out of your head.
It's great for growth of how you could do it differently, but it can also hinder us. So I love a letting go list, right? Just letting go. I love to a bit of delegation. Love to let it go to the universe. Take care of this for me because I simply have just had enough of it, right?
Yeah.
But just writing it all down. So love those tips. So thank you so much, Emma. You have been, as always, it's great to speak to you. I love connecting with you.
It's
always a pleasure.
It's been amazing, Anna. Honestly, you're amazing. And I can't wait for our next coaching session.
I love it. Yeah, I nor can I, right? I love, and you know, like you say, you've got to enjoy what you do. I love what I do. And when it doesn't feel like, well, I'm sure you'll attest to this, when it does not, like when you love what you do, it doesn't feel like work. You don't feel like you work a day in your life.
Exactly that, Anna. Exactly. When I'm teaching and I'm out there teaching on the hill somewhere with a group of people and they've got all the camera equipment and the, you know, I feel it's just brilliant. I absolutely love it. I love it. And it's because I love it, it doesn't feel like work. It's like this isn't a job. This is like a hobby. This is like I'm getting paid and it's a hobby. It's brilliant.
I love that. And I think that is so important. So thank you. Thank you so much, Emma, for being with me today. And, you know, thank you for being a client. Thank you for, you know, trusting me with your growth and with your journey, and that really, I don't take that lightly. So thank you and have a wonderful day.
Oh, you too, Anna. It's been amazing. Thank you so much. You're brilliant. Thank you.
You're most welcome. So are you. Right back at you, right? Take care. Have a great day. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button to be the first to know about new episodes. And in the meantime, check out our community at beingimperfectlyperfect.co.uk. We'll see you next time.